Log Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministries, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we do thank you for tuning in. We are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that we interact with you. We like interacting with you about the Word of God. So if you would like to call in, if you're listening by internet, you can call in at 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, if you hit number one, you would be connected to the broadcast. Amen? So that's 347-237-4054 is the call-in. As we move forward, we're going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, we're going to be in our neck of the woods this afternoon or this evening. Amen. So we will be operating from Cleveland with Dr. Suzanne Hawthorne Clay. We're going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, then we're going to turn it on over to her. Amen. For our prayer list, we are praying for Pastor Paul Robinson, who is a regular speaker on. He is from out of Tennessee. We're praying for him that God would manifest the things that he desires. Amen. And the last time we spoke, he had a praise report. So we're looking forward to that praise report from Pastor Paul Robinson from out of Tennessee. We'd also like to continue to lift up in prayer Minister Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta, who had requested prayer. Tanette Dickerson from out of Alabama, we are lifting her up in prayer. Amen. Praying that God will continue to work through her, in her and through her. Amen. God is a God who is able to turn things around. Amen. We also would like to also continue to pray for Stuart Hawthorne, and there's a praise report for him. He has had his had an operation, and the operation was successful, and he is talking more than ever. Amen. So that is a praise report. Amen. Amen. When you end up getting an operation, when you get an end up in the hospital and you have an operation and you come out of that operation successfully and you are talking more than when you went in, amen, that is a praise report. And that's just also that is also a way of God letting us know that he is in control. Amen. So we can't ever forget what God can do. Amen. We sing about it. We go to church and we pray about it. But do we truly believe it? Amen. And I am the one to say that I truly believe. I truly believe in the works of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to have prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, you've heard those that we lift up in prayer. Father, you know what their needs are. We pray, Father, that you would just work accordingly, Heavenly Father, to the desires of their heart. We pray, Heavenly Father, that those things, Heavenly Father, that man sees as impossible, that you would continue to show out, showing that it is not impossible when you are in the midst. Father, we ask that you would work with the families, Heavenly Father, those who may be dealing who are in the atmosphere or the environment, Father, that you would just give them encouragement as their spouses, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, whomever they may be, Father, that they would be encouraged, Heavenly Father. They would be encouraged, and they would continue to speak life, Heavenly Father, because you are God, Heavenly Father, who is able to do anything but fail. Father, we come to say that we love you simply because you love us. We pray that you would be with the preacher, the speaker for this evening. Lord, that you would bless her, Heavenly Father, as she comes and admonishes your word, Heavenly Father, whatever that you have her to say, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just pray that you would work through her. Lord, Father, we just call these things that are as though they're not, Father. Anything that is out there, Heavenly Father, that's trying to tear down the kingdom, Father, we just come together in the unity and the spirit, Heavenly Father, believing and receiving, declaring and decreeing in the name of Jesus. We claim victory over anything we've spoke of and all those things we have not spoke of, Father. We claim victory over those also. We pray that you continue to bless us, Heavenly Father, as we move forward. Let it be your will and not our will, Father. We don't do it for fame or fortune, Father. We just do it, Father, because we are here, Heavenly Father, as a blessing, and we want to be a blessing to each other. We thank you, Heavenly Father, the word which is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our paths. We glorify you. We magnify you. We lift you up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to move out of the way and let my wife take over, and the Lord has placed some things on our heart, Heavenly, and we're just waiting. I'm just excited to see what God is going to do as he works through her. Amen. Dr. Suzanne Hawthorne Clay.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, dear husband, and thank you to those that are listening in real time and those that are listening through the archives or Facebook or whatever. We praise you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Father God, please help me, dear Lord, to bring this message, Father, with the understanding that you've given me, Father God, that you would help me, Father God, to be able to relay the message clearly, dear Lord. Help me, Lord, not to be tongue-tied and to be clear in thought, to focus on you, Father God, and that the message is received. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Today we're coming from James 3. The title of the message today, I don't know if you received it online or by my husband as a text message, but it's wash your mouth out with soap. It's about controlling your tongue or taming the tongue. And the Lord had given me a couple of different things that have been speaking to me over the last couple of weeks. I told my husband last week, I said, I think that there's a message that God may want me to record. And so he has opened up the opportunity for me. So I pray that this blesses you in some way, or if there's something that you can glean from it that you can take away or share with someone else. Anyway, let's get started. James 3, and I'm reading from the Living Bible. Dear brothers, don't be too eager to tell others their faults. But we all make many mistakes. And when we teachers of religion, who should know better, do wrong, our punishment will be greater than it would be for others. If anyone can control his tongue, it proves that he has perfect control over himself in every other way. We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. And a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn whenever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. So also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A great forest can be set on fire by one tiny spark. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness and poison, every part of the body. And the tongue is set on fire by hell itself and could turn our whole lives into a blazing flame of destruction and disaster. Men have trained or can train every kind of animal or bird that lives and every kind of reptile and fish, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is always ready to pour out its deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Heavenly Father, and sometimes it breaks out into curses against men who are made like God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Dear brothers, surely this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out first with fresh water and then with bitter water? Can you pick olives from a fig tree or figs from a grapevine? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty pool. If you are wise, live a life of steady goodness so that only good deeds will pour forth. And if you don't brag about them, then you will be truly wise. And by all means, don't brag about being wise and good if you are bitter and jealous and selfish. That is the worst sort of lie. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, inspired by the devil. For wherever there is jealousy or selfish ambition, there will be disorder and every other kind of evil. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and full of quiet gentleness. Then it is peace, loving, and courteous. It allows discussion and is willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It is wholehearted and straightforward and sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your word, that you would add a blessing to it.
Amen.
Just off course for a minute, in my salutation, when I write text messages or email, my closing is always peace and blessings, as always, peace and blessings, because that's what I ask you. And I think that peace, asking for God's peace, is, and the blessings of the Lord, is so important that we're reminded every day. And so when I write you, if you're one of my text, in my text family or circle, you know what I mean when I say that, but others may not. For praying for peace and blessing. So let's move forward. What we learn in this chapter of James, control your tongue, and like most of the chapters in James, it kind of reminds you of the Proverbs. It's like wisdom, wisdom, that if you do this, that this will happen. If you don't do this, then this is what won't happen, and so forth. It's like the like life lessons for us. But this book in James and the books in James are specifically life lessons for those that are in the body, specifically for those that are in the body. Although we can, you know, apply them to others as well because they still hold. But we in the body have to be very, very careful of how we, the words that we speak and how we use our tongue and how we use our, even our influence being a part of the body, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a apostle, whatever leadership role you're playing, or even evangelical role, or as even as a brother and sister in the pew that you hold, there are people that are watching you. So we have to be careful. And that's what this word is talking to us about. But these should not be things that are new to us, because we learn a lot of this, like they say, everything you need to know you learn in kindergarten. And so I was thinking about some of the lessons that we learn in grade school. Like one of the lessons that we learned, who remembers playing the game telephone, where you sat around in a circle and the teacher would start a message and whisper it to one person, and that person would whisper it to the next person until it goes all the way around the circle. And I have never known, having been a teacher myself, I have never known the message to ever come back exactly the way it went out. That the message becomes twisted and turned, and people add their own bent on it or add what they think they heard to the message. So the message is changed. And that's how, and that's one of the things that we learned from that playing that game, is not to spread things, you know, to be careful what you say, that you can't believe everything that you hear. Another thing that we heard that we used to say as kids was about liar. Who remembers that? If you remember liar, liar, what's the rest of it?
Pants on fire.
That's right. Liar, liar, pants on fire. So who wants their pants to be on fire? That's wrong to lie. So we learn that we have to watch what we say, watch the gossip, that we watch what we repeat, the words that we repeat. We learn not to lie, to tell the truth. And these are things that are taught at home. But in our social circles and in schools, they're reinforced. So you're learning it. So for those who did not learn it at home, they're learning it at school. And those who did, it's reinforced at school and with their friends. liar, liar, pants on fire, you know, your tongue's on fire, stuff like that. We'd say if you lie, you get a lie bump on your tongue.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody remembers that, but if somebody had a bump on your tongue, well, that's because they were lying. You know, they're big liars. You got a bump on your tongue. Here's another one, tattletelling. That one of the things is when I worked with primary school, that you didn't, you know, the kids will tell everything. And some stuff you wanted to know, so and some stuff you didn't. So you tell them, you tell if it's a matter of danger, if it's a matter of safety. But it's just telling that so-and-so didn't tie their shoes or so-and-so didn't eat all of their lunch. You know, that's tattletelling. That's not, you don't have to tell everybody's business. And there was a rhyme that we had that went with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody remembers this one, but that maybe the people probably like in their 40s and 50s, you know this one. Nobody likes a tattletale. Nobody likes a tattletale. If you tattle every day, nobody's going to want to play. So, and the tattletelling is when you reveal secrets or you inform, but you're like the informant or you spy on others and you tell to get favor with the person that's in authority or to make yourself look like you're smarter, you know more, that you're better than the other people. So we learn how to tattletale. That's another childhood lesson. Another one that really comes close to home with this the scriptures here in James 3 is sticks and stones, name calling. And that's one, though, that I disagree with, because we used to say sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never harm you.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find out is that the names and the things that we call people, it will harm you. It does cause harm. We learn, especially if you're in the Word or if you're an adult and if you have children, too, that by calling someone different names, you can alter their future.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You have self-fulfilling prophecies. If you tell a child that they're lazy, you know, you're so lazy, you're not speaking life to them, but speaking curses to them. Again, that tongue. Speaking curses to them, telling them that they're lazy, you're no good, you're just like your father, you're no good, you're not going to amount to anything. That child assumes that you must be right because you're an adult. And they take on that role. And I believe that it alters the prophetic future that the Lord may have planned for them unless they get back on track and learn to believe what God says instead of the person who is speaking curses over them. So sticks and stones can break bones. But names can also harm you.
Mm-hmm.
Words can also harm you.
Mm-hmm.
When you're cursing, you hear people cursing at children in the store and, you know, in out places. Those are harming words.
Mm-hmm.
To say damn you to a child, damn that child. Your words speak life. Words speak life. And when you speak or can speak life or death. And when you speak a curse, you're speaking death over someone. When you speak a blessing, you're speaking life to someone. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Any comments? Let's move on. In our teen years and early adulthood, we learn even more. And if you're my age, you may remember, and we're not going to, you know what, I got ready to play this music, but I said somebody may get up and start dancing and popping their fingers. they take you way back. But there was a song, Rumors, by Timex Social Club. And I'm not going to sing it out. You know, I don't have the voice John Clay has the voice, not me. But the lyrics go, how do rumors get started? They're started by jealous people, and they get mad seeing what someone else had that they had, and somebody else is holding it.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that what James has said? That jealousy and spitefulness, that's not of God. That's not of God. That's not of God. Can we turn to Psalm 64:3? I have that marked here on my. And I'm going to see what that says. 64:3 says, they cut me down with sharpened tongues. They aim their bitter words like arrows straight at my heart. They shoot from ambush at the innocent. Suddenly, the deed is done, yet they are not afraid. The rumors come from, that tells me the rumors also come from cowards, people that hide behind things. They're jealous people, people that hide, people that just say stuff. Is with the purpose of hurting, to cut like a knife.
Mm-hmm.
That's slanderous. We have people that slander others in these times that we're living in right now. We see it also where people's names are being slandered.
Mm-hmm.
Their characters are being defamed. We have libel where people are writing with Facebook and Twitter. You can write and say anything. And it's out there to millions of people within minutes. Well, I should say seconds. Almost instantaneously, it's out there, and how cruel that is. And that's not of God. So even us as Christians have to be careful online when we write things on Facebook and when we send messages out on Twitter. I was convicted because I don't necessarily agree with what's going on in with federal politics right now. But God's word commands me to pray for our leadership,
Amen.
To pray for our government.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to repent and take a step back with my disagreement rather than looking like the rest of the world and calling names and putting out things that are negative or spreading the negative. I have to repent and commit it to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way that anything will ever be different is through prayer. And for Christians to make a difference and to take a stand. Silence does not mean, and I'm not saying that you have to be silent. I'm not saying that you have to be silent. Because oftentimes silent will mean that you're in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that the way that we express ourselves, we need to think about how we're expressing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen.
Any comments? So knowing all of this and knowing what the word says, about the tongue and taming the tongue, and especially knowing what James is saying in James 3 about teachers and fellow believers and leaders, that we teach others, that as we teach others, we have to remember that we are being held to a higher standard. So people watch the way that we respond to different things in the news, on television, the way we respond to things in our community, the people are watching us. And although we know we're not to judge one another, we are being judged. We're being held at a higher standard, and we're being judged more strictly by those that are not as knowledgeable or those that are not as mature in the word or those who have not even come into the fold of you. So we're being watched, we're being judged, we're being held at a high standard, and we have to be careful. God's word tells us that we're to walk circumspectly.
Yeah.
That we're to walk but always be aware of where you've lost.
Mm-hmm.
Always be aware that where you've left. Well, I used to tell my children that when they would go to visit my mother or, you know, or family or like my sister or whatever, when they go to her house, to leave the house better than they found it.
Yes.
Leave the house better than they found it.
Mm-hmm.
You come, they've laid out and made up your bed for you, you know, put clean sheets on, take the sheets off, you know, off the bed, wash the sheets. Gather up the towels and things that you use. Help her wash the dishes. You know, sweep the floor for her. Make it so that when you come back, that she's glad that you came back, that you weren't a burden and not the extra work. When you leave a job, leave the job that they have fond memories of you, that they remember good things of you, not that they're glad that you're gone. You know, not that they're, when you leave, they throw a party. Because praise God, you're gone. That's what they're praising God for, rather than sorrow or glad that they have the time with you. So walk circumspectly means even if the Lord moves you on to another church, that you haven't burned your bridges at the church that you're leaving. If the Lord moves you to another neighborhood, that you haven't burned your bridges and you don't leave enemies in the neighborhood that you're leaving, that they have fond memories to share with a new person that moved in your house or your apartment. Walking circumspectly means that when I spend time with my friends, that they're glad that they spent the time with me and they look forward to the next time that we're together, that I have spoken life over them, that I have given them an encouraging word, that our time together was pleasant, that it wasn't full of negatives or rumors or backbiting or, I wasn't Debbie Downer, as they say. I wasn't Debbie Downer, but that they look forward to the next time we come together in fellowship. Walking circumspectly means that you can look back and you can smile with no regret.
Amen.
Praise God. We need to learn how to speak life to others, that although you may see something that is not as in its perfect setting or its perfect position, but you can speak life or word of encouragement to someone to let them know that they have something to look forward to, that you prophesy to people, that when the Lord gives you a word, that you are sure to give the word.
Amen.
That when the Lord gives you a prophecy to share with someone, that you share that prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
That you speak life to someone when you don't look at the negative. Like, look for something positive in the situation. So
that's
if someone
good.
Makes a meal and it's not the best they've ever made, you are still grateful that they exerted the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That you're still
that's
grateful
good.
That they exerted the energy, that they prepared for you, that you appreciate their sacrifice, the sacrifice that they made, that you speak life. That when you see, and especially over our children, like you talked about self-fulfilling prophecies, our children hear so much negative, and the only thing that they think they're getting positive from is television, when in reality they're not, and from their friends, which in reality they can't get what they truly need to grow and become mature because the friends are at the same level that they are. But when you speak life to a child and you talk to them of what you see in them, I see greatness in you. I look forward to seeing you when you grow up. What do you have planned for your life? Oh, I know that you're going to be good at whatever you decide to do. But the child will listen to you because you're speaking something positive instead of complaining all the time how you need to do so-and-so. If I were you, when I was your age, I walked 100 miles to school. When I was your age, I read every night. When I was your age, I did so-and-so. Well, that was you. That this is this person. So let's speak something positive to and over this person to be positive with them.
Do we have any questions or comments?
That's good, Dr. Suzanne, because what I like about that is that, and that's the attitude we should have, what you're saying, just like Christ, you know, we're still in a work in progress. So he's looking and he's pouring into us, not what is seen right now, but what will be. And that's what, like what you're saying about the children or even people you come in contact with. Don't just focus on the negative. You know, I think Brother John said, speak those things that are not as though they are. And that's what he did. That's what Christ does. That's what God did with the world. There was nothing there, and he spoke into existence. The power of that spoken word went into the earth, and there came light within all that darkness. You know, so I like this word that you're bringing forth. It's so important.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking us where we're going next, and that is speaking the word.
Sorry.
Amen. We have another question.
917,
area code. Do you have any questions or comments?
So good.
Okay. 2 Samuel 23:2 says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. We have to pray, and we have to speak the word back to God. Speak it. Speak the word into the atmosphere. Speak it.
Yes.
Take authority when you speak the word. The Lord gave us that. You know what? We're the only, out of all of his creation, we're the only ones who he's given a mind to think. We're the only ones that he's given a voice to communicate and to create words and to speak like him. The only one. The only one. That's all creation. He expects us to. He gave us these tongues to use for the benefit of the body, the benefit of the world. So speak it. Speak into existence. Just like Sister Edna said, you speak the word. He spoke the word, and the world was here. He spoke the word, and he created us. So much.
Yes.
Go back to Jesus. It was all spoken. Spoken word. What can happen with our tongue? God's word tells us that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. So speak life.
Amen.
Speak life. Speak those things that are positive. Be careful of what you say and who you say it over. Be careful of what you say. Be careful. There are no harmless, innocent words. We have to walk circumspectly and be calculating with the way that we use our words.
Well, that's good.
We have to be
calculating.
Mm. We have to be careful. We have to be gentle with the way that we minister to one another, because our words are so powerful and they mean so much. Praise God. So we pray. We speak. We read scripture. We speak it out loud. We pray. And when we pray, we're communicating with God. And we pray, we even use scripture in our prayers. When we pray, praise and worship. You're praising and worshiping God, and you're singing the scripture back to God. You're singing the scripture back to God. I remember my daughter was talking about the difference between praise and worship music and contemporary gospel or like spirituals or old-time gospel music. The difference is that we're singing the scripture back to the Lord. So whatever style you use, whether it's an African-American R&B type style, whether it's country western, whether it's classical, whatever style you use to sing those scriptures, you're still singing scriptures. It's the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Yes,
when you sing psalms like David did and dance before the Lord, you're praising God and you're worshiping God, and he sees you and he hears you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we have to remember to anoint. I think it was last year we did a teaching on the oil and the importance of oil and what the Lord used the oil and the importance of olives and so forth and, and the anointing. But the anointing, the symbolism of using oil and anointing ourselves and anointing our children and our spouses and even anointed the doors and the windows of our home because this is where I want the Holy Spirit to dwell.
Yes.
And I want the Holy Spirit to dwell within me and my children and my husband and my grandchildren. I want them to be able to hear, to discern those things of God. And we anoint. And you put an anointing on, and the Holy Spirit will anoint you as well. And so it's not just the physical symbolic anointing that we can do over ourselves, but to ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to remind us of how we should speak the word, how we should speak to others, and how we should minister to other people. Your words are so, so precious. You think about stories in history like Samson and Delilah, okay? Those were words. Those were words that caused his downfall. When we think about words in history, when we think about Helen of Troy, those were words, and that was jealousy, and the words that went back and forth that caused that. When you think about things in our history today, it's words. It's words. Why do people get upset when President Donald Trump tweets? He's tweeting words. He's saying things that we need to be careful of. And so that's why you have to be careful what you say. Sticks and stones will break your bones. The words do harm you. Words can harm you. So we have to be careful. The Lord was so, he could have passed his word down through oral history. And there are those of us who do know the word verbatim and can quote scripture like that. But I need the Logos word. I need it in print. And he put his word in print. And he gave it to those to put in print, the word. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
917, I am going to put you on muted. I'm getting a feedback from you, 917. So if you would like to share, just hit the number one and then I can connect you, okay? We're getting a feedback from your end. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, I just want to interject as well. You know, so many times I have to be, not only we should be positive with our words to others, but even for ourselves, you know, because I find myself, I have to catch myself sometimes, you know, making sure that the words that come out of my mouth isn't negative towards myself. Or if the enemy comes, and he's buffering me, and then he's speaking, and then I'm speaking out the negative, and that should not be. The blessing of the word, the power and the authority of the word, like you said, Dr. Suzanne, God has given us that authority. He's placed that word. He's given it to us. So we have to use it as that's not the word I want to use, but throw it back to the enemy, to the devil when he comes up with things, just like Jesus did. You know, when he came with the negative to Jesus in the wilderness, he fought him back with the word.
With the word.
And we have, yes, this is such a powerful message. Oh, my God.
Amen.
It's bringing back to our remembrance how powerful our words, the words that we speak. And in this day and time, it is so poignant for us to be right on point, to not let not even a foothold come in, because if the foothold comes, then the stronghold comes, and the Lord wants us to stay up on it. This is good. This word is great. I'm done.
Amen.
We want more. We want more.
Thank you. Praise God. Praise God.
This
praise
is so
God.
Good.
Thank you, Lord. We have
I
to remember
to hear
in
this.
Job 20:12, the word says, though evil is sweet in his mouth, and he hides it under his tongue.
Wow.
The things
wow.
who speak evil, and sometimes they just have a little bit just waiting there. It looks
yeah.
sweet. They may look sweet, but it feels good for those that are evil to speak evil
right.
of others.
Right. Wow. That's good.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Good. Amen.
Amen.
Oh my goodness.
The word also says that his mouth is full of lies and threats in Psalm 10:7. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. And that's the enemy. And when the enemy uses folk to be boastful and to lie and to threaten others, to bully others, trouble and evil is in their mouth. Trouble
Amen.
And evil is in their mouth. Now, if that's coming out of their mouth, just imagine their heart.
Wow. Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what we want to go do, oh, here's one more piece about being a new creation, is that we said prayer, we said praise and worship, to anoint, to fast is to be quiet in God, to fast, to sacrifice sustenance, whatever you work out with the Lord, or whatever the Lord leads you to fast, that you would fast it, or the type of fast, I should say that the Lord would lead you on, but also sanctuary, that you desire sanctuary and solitude, a quiet time with God, because when you do that and you settle your spirit, the Lord is able to speak to you,
mm-hmm.
to speak
Amen.
To you, to quiet those things that may be raging inside you,
mm-hmm.
that when you, and even not only, I've been trying to practice quiet time every day. Sometimes
Amen.
I'm successful, sometimes I'm not. I know we had a associate pastor, and she would have a day of solitude, her day of sanctuary, and she would just spend it alone in the house, quiet all day long. And that was her time with the Lord. I have not graduated to that, but I do know the peace that comes from it in the short time that I've been doing that,
Amen.
In a short period of time when I'm able to do it on day to day, that the peace that comes about you, it settles your spirit. It's that in the storms that could be raging in you of what you have to do during the day and what's going on in the world and all that's wrong and what you need to do can be just shut down, turned off, and allow the Lord to minister to you,
Amen.
To speak to you about you doing it. And he will order your day. He will
Amen.
Order you through the day and put everything in line. So we need to look for a place in our lives, not necessarily a physical place, although a physical place is even better if you have a chair or a corner or a room that you can go to that you can just be quiet in, then that's wonderful. But a place in your time and in your day when you can just be quiet, when you can have sanctuary, where you can retreat with the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So here we go with the soap, though. So what did I mean when I said wash your mouth out with soap? Well, God's word tells us the last line, last few verses of James 3 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and full of quiet goodness. Then it is peace-loving and courteous. It allows discussion and is willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It is wholehearted and straightforward and sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness.
Amen.
And I believe this is what God wants us to do as we learn to control our tongue when we have tamed our tongue, and we have to continuously come back to that, taming the tongue. What does it mean to tame the tongue? We have to continuously be reminded, just like with other things, because we're still growing up in the Lord. We're getting some immaturity, but we're not quite grown yet. Okay?
Amen.
We haven't reached perfection, because in this word it also talks about perfection. Remember in the beginning of this chapter, it talked about being perfect, that those that do no wrong and those that do not make mistakes, those who are not at fault, are perfect. And the only one that was perfect was who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we're continuously practicing, day in, day out. So we need to watch our mouths out with soap. So how do you practice that? How do you practice soap? You read the scripture, the essence for scripture and for sanctuary. That you read the scripture and you have your quiet time with the Lord. You seek sanctuary and solitude and quiet time, a retreat with Jesus Christ. And O is obey, that you obey the word, that you submit yourself in obedience to God, and you lay down your burden of the day, and you lay down whatever fault you may have or whoever has faulted you at the feet of Jesus Christ, and you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, and you ask for forgiveness, and you ask to be led on how to respond to whatever is going on, and you give it to the Lord.
Amen.
So that's it. Oh, so we come to A, and A is acknowledgement. We acknowledge the truth that's in the Word. We acknowledge the truth of a situation that may be taking place. That we remember in that acknowledgement that we are the head and not the tail. We are above, not beneath. That the Lord has promised to the Lord says that vengeance is not mine, it's not ours, that he will avenge us. We learned that our words, that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and he tells us to speak life. We acknowledge that that is true. We acknowledge the truth of the situation that we may be in or the circumstances that we're in, and we give it to God. We do what we know to be right. We do what we know to be right. We acknowledge, like the serenity prayer says, God, grant me the serenity to change the things that I can change. Does that feel right?
Yes.
To accept the things I cannot change.
Mm-hmm.
To accept the things I cannot change. To change the things I can change.
And to know
the
difference.
And that's led by the Holy Spirit. And the wisdom to know the difference, to know the difference. Everything is not for you to have the last word on. Everything is not for you to jump up and to be in the mix, to be in the middle or the mix of it. It's not for you. So acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge who you are, where you are. And the P stands for peace, and we should practice peace. And we should seek peace. And this verse 17 through 18 of James 4 tells us what peace looks like, that we should be pure, first pure, that we are peaceable, that we're gentle, that we're easy to be entreated, that we're full of mercy, that we produce good fruit, that we are without partiality, that we are without hypocrisy, that we're kind, that we will sow righteousness, and that we will be peacemakers.
Mm.
So we practice peace. So I ask you, and I challenge you, and I have a list of scriptures here that I didn't get through, and I apologize for that, but if you go through the word, or just go to, like, Bible Gateway and put in tongue, oh, my goodness, not tongues, like speaking in tongues, just the word tongue, the number of times that the Lord talks to us about being careful of what we say and watching our mouth, watching our words. So I invite you with me I never had, my parents never washed my mouth out with soap. There were a couple times they probably could have if they had heard some of the things I said. But I invite you to wash your mouth out with soap with me, to remember, to read your scripture, to take sanctuary, to be obedient to the word, to acknowledge Christ in all you do, and to practice peace.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Are there any questions? Any questions before we, as we move closer to the closing hour? Any questions?
What I like about this word is so refreshing. You know, in our everyday life, we just we're going here and there and everywhere, and even though we think about it, but think about the words that are coming out of our mouth, but what we need to do is be even more, I'm not even saying this right, we need to be so conscious of what the words that are coming out of our mouth, to an individual or to ourselves. This word is so refreshing to remind us just how powerful God has given us the authority of the word, the power of the word, to not take it for granted or just say, oh, well, I just said that. Sometimes when I say things about myself, I have to catch it. I said, Lord, forgive me. I have to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it came out, I said, Lord, forgive me. That came out too. And I have to watch myself.
Amen.
And just like you said, we can't do it on our own. But Him, Holy Spirit, He's the one that keeps us and can tame that little member that can rule anything or change anybody's mind, so to speak. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This word is just so refreshing. It's refreshing
Amen.
To me.
Amen.
It's excellent
Amen.
To remind us.
Mm. Any more comments?
And just, you know, and I'm going to be done. Just
no.
like you,
no,
no, somebody
no,
else want to say
ahead.
Something?
I thought you were finished.
I'm sorry, somebody else?
No, I thought you were finished.
Yeah, I was, but I was thinking about what Dr. Suzanne was saying about we have to pray for our leaders, talking about the president and them. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's so much backlash, and it's so true, because I was
Me
even
true.
Saying, man, crazy, just nuts. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
God knows all things, and just like the Word of God says, we have to pray for them. We have to
That's
pray
right.
for them, you know, because at the end of the day, they have to be saved too. And the only way that can be is if we as a body of believers continue to pray for them. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, we're getting excited and pissed off about what God said. This is going to happen. These things that are happening is going to happen. So what we have to do is just pray, continually pray, and be active.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because these are the times. We're coming down to the wire. We're coming down where the rubber meets the road. I'm finished. This is such
Amen.
A good word.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Any other comments? Any other members over here? Would you like to have any comments? Your mic's open.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, such a reminding word for me myself as I'm listening, I'm writing down, you know, notes to myself, comments to myself, because we always have to be reminded, you know, that the events and acronym spoke, and I'm just really, really grateful. And I like the way that it was introduced, you know, with the SOAP, the scripture, making sure that we read the word, and also with obedience, making sure that we're obedient, you know,
yeah.
as children of God, And with the name, with the acknowledgement, acknowledging the truth, acknowledging the truth. And finally, peace, being peacemakers. We're going to make all the difference in the world and in the lives. And in terms of the walk, our journey, our walk, our Christian walk. So it definitely spoke to me as we were sitting here writing notes as we were listening. So we do think we were tuning in. So 917, I apologize if we had to put you on mute. There's a feedback we was getting, and it's it's a humming sound. We did not hear it, but we heard it. So that's one of the reasons why I had to mute your side of your mic. So 917, did you have any comments before we close out?
Who would you say?
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I just think it's just so vital in terms of so making sure that we do just that. So I thank Dr. Suzanne for allowing the word, to resonate and speak to our spirits as well as our hearts. We do thank her for that. We're going to get ready to close out. We thank you, all of you that tuned in, and those of you that tuned in by internet. We do thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, there is no big I. We are all in this together. And so we come together to encourage each other. Amen. We encourage each other. And how do we encourage each other? We're using our tongue. The power of the tongue. Amen. Such as or what comes out your mouth is what makes all the difference in my life as well as your life. So we need to continue to practice that. So next week, we'd like to invite you back. We'll be here at the same time. Same place. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Remember also that every day is a new beginning. God bless you.
Amen.
Love Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Dr. Suzanne, and I'm here with you at Blog Talk Radio. We're New Beginnings Ministries, and our shows begin again. We are here every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, eager to discuss, to digest, to devour, to explore the Word of God. This evening, we have a special guest with us, who will be speaking to us from New Jersey, who comes well-schooled, very knowledgeable, who will share with us. But before I introduce him, let's open with prayer. Father God, we thank you for this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the medium of radio and computer blog talk radio, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that every ear, Father God, that hears this message this evening, Father God, will be blessed by it, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that the seeds will be planted tonight, Father God. Seeds, Father God, and curiosities, Father God, will be encouraged, Father God, that those that know you, Father God, will desire to grow closer to you, Father God, and develop an intimate relationship with you. And those that don't know you, Father God, will find a need to come to know you, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for these seeds that are planted. We thank you, Lord, that your biblical principle is, Father God, that as seeds are planted, that they are produced, that the plant, what comes from it, will produce both kinds. And that, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the plenty, for the abundance, Father God, that it won't just be one, it'll be more than one. So to the multitudes that will listen, to the word that will go forth, we thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless our speaker, Father God, to speak to him and through him in Jesus' sweet and holy name. In his holy name. Well, tonight our teaching is coming from Minister James Gary, and he will be using the book of, begin with the book of Hebrews. The scripture tonight is, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That's Hebrews 12, 14, and 15. Well, let me tell you a little bit about our speaker before we go into the Word. This is Brother James Gary. He is certified in prayer ministry through Elijah House School for Prayer Ministry. He's in the class of 2012. Congratulations on that, and that is out of Calvary Temple International in Wayne, New Jersey. He is a member of Christ Church in Montclair, New Jersey, and his religion, of course, is Christian, praise God, and he attends a non-denominational church. A little background on Brother James is that he grew up in Catholicism. He was even an altar boy. But later in his life, the Lord called him out of religiosity and into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He uses a lot of Hebrew in his speaking. For instance, in his description of his background, he says, out of religiosity into a relationship with Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach. And I'm hoping that he will help me with the pronunciation, since I have a little Midwest and Southern accent there, with the Father Jehovah or Yahweh. So let's introduce Brother James. Brother James, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, hello.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. I'm very, very eager. I have my notebook ready, my Bible, and my pen ready to take notes and to get into this word, bitter root, tracing from fruit to the root. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to you.
Excellent, excellent. Amen, amen. And I received that prayer, and I received all that you said tonight so far. And I just wanted to just speak a blessing over the listeners quickly, and then we'll go right into the teaching. So, Jehovah Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this evening, Lord God. We thank you for the airways that you have established, Lord, that your word may be salt and light and truth, Lord, to those that are listening. Lord God, we ask that you will dispatch your mightiest warning angels, Lord, and just hover over each and every household, Lord God, that's within the distance of my voice and the hearing of my voice, Lord God. Lord God, let your name be exalted, Lord God. Let your will be done on this night, Lord God. Let the seeds that are planted touch each and every heart, Lord God, that the chains that the enemy has people bound by will be broken, Lord God, and that they will be set free, Lord God. So, Lord God, we plead the blood of Jesus over this call. We thank you for this ministry, Lord, and this opportunity, Lord God, to set free those that are captive, Lord God, to free the mind, Lord God, the minds of those that have been in despair or just broken in spirit, Lord God. But we know that you are receiving of those that are contrite heart and broken spirit, Lord God, that you will rebuild a temple, Lord God, not made by human hands, but that will be blessed by your name. So we thank you, Lord God, and we bless you this night. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Yes,
amen.
Tonight's teaching is based on a teaching from Elijah House. And Elijah House is a ministry which basically is designed to set people free, set the captives free. And I've worked with Reverend D, who actually was taught by Reverend D through this class. And she's an avid teacher and instructor, and it is a teaching ministry, which it yields fruit and good fruit. Now, the purpose of this teaching is just to talk a little bit about some of the things that you see, some of the things that you know are not quite right. You just can't put your finger on what might be causing it. We see the calamity. All you have to do is turn on the news. You see calamity happening. You see and you hear all of the disasters and disasters on top of the disasters. I think just recently there were shootings and things that happened. And without reason, we don't know why these guys go into movie theaters and start shooting. And if you just listen to the news, it just seems to happen more and more. And tonight's teaching is expected to give you insight into some of the things, some of the repeat occurrences that happen in our own lives. And the Bible teaches us and tells us that the people perish, that God says, my people perish due to the lack of knowledge. And if you don't know, you can't change those patterns that cause you problems and calamities. And we most often see them in our relationships with our parents or lack thereof, or relationships with spouses or boyfriend, girlfriend, things like that. We can't quite put a finger on what is actually causing the problems and the calamities. But we know that happened because we see the results. We see the see results in terms of teen pregnancy. We see it in terms of broken homes. And this is not the desire of our Lord. Our Lord does not wish for us to live in bondage, but he wants us to be free. So that's the purpose of the teaching tonight. And I pray that the Lord will speak through me and to each and every person on this call, and that is in the sound of my voice. And I believe that there will be a portion where they can actually call in. Is that correct?
Yes. That's available. Good. Again, the phone number is 347-237-4054, or you can listen in on the computer at Blog Talk Radio New Beginnings Ministry. Thank you.
Right. And our goal tonight is to restore the Christian family. As God called me out of what we call religiosity, what religiosity is just a big technical word to mean that you follow traditions, and traditions tend to end up taking priority or precedence over having a direct relationship with God. And God, he birthed us with this connection to him, and he wishes and desires to have that. And we believe that he sent his one and only begotten Son to earth to die for our sins, to free us. And this will all come through a relationship with the Father through Christ. So that is the goal and should be your goal. And your goal for your life is to just have that relationship renewed and restored. The enemy tends to want to remind us of the things that we do wrong, but notice that we never find out from the enemy why those things are happening and how those patterns are happening. We just get the convictions. So tonight, may the Lord set you free. Now, we start off tonight, Suzanne, talking about the bitter root. Bitter roots. Bitterness, of course, as you read in the opening scripture, is something that can spring up or spring forth in our life. And every time a bitter root or bitterness springs up in our life, there's going to be fruit. As you know, psychologists are out there. They make a lot of money. And I will call psychologists more or less fruit pickers, because what they do is, as this bitterness springs up in life, in terms of life problems and life struggles, people will go to them, and they will slowly but surely pick off the bad fruit. And that bad fruit is something that if you don't get it at the root, it will continue to happen. So you'll go through a series of cycles where you have, say, for instance, depression, and that would be a fruit. But there is something that is at the root of that depression. That's what Christ came to free us and to make us aware of, so that we would truly be free, and that fruit that bitterness will no longer come up in terms of fruit in our lives. Now, in Matthew 7:17, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, and it says here that every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Interesting choice of words that Matthew used there, but that is directly analogous with the teaching tonight, because the bad fruit, you can consider that the events, the things that we see happening and we say that is a bad thing. Those things that kind of make you go, wow, why did that happen? And it, oftentimes the questions come up, and when those questions come up is because we see something that was derived from a bitterness. So mm-hmm. when we speak, we have to ask questions. And the first question is, what are bitter roots? What are bitter roots? And we define bitter roots, or we characterize bitter roots by a few things or a few words. First off, bitter roots are results of our sinful reactions to hurt. Sinful reactions to hurt. There are things that happen to us in life. We don't have much control over the things that happen to us that are bad, just as sometimes we don't have control over the good things that happen to us. You know, sometimes these things happen to us, and we don't have control over them. But what we do have control over is our reactions to those things that happen to us. And it's a choice. We can choose to react negatively, we can choose to learn from it and react positively, or we can choose to press it down and forget about it. The thing is, that's where the bitter root it finds its fertile soil, in our hearts, when we suppress these things and press them deep down and forget about them. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't forget, and the enemy knows that they're there, and he comes back to press into that person and to cause calamity to occur in their life, and in the lives of their children, and their children's children. So yeah. The purpose is to break these things. Critical condemning judgments of people. Oftentimes you can judge somebody, and that judgment is from a bitter root. It is a bitterness. It is a bitterness that's in your heart that caused you to judge. Another thing is a refusal or inability to forgive someone. Forgiveness, unforgiveness, it causes disease. In fact, Psychology Today published an article talking about unforgiveness and the roots of it, and the fact that it's linked to many, many diseases. And it is very important that we recognize that unforgiveness is a direct link to bitterness. It's directly linked to bitterness. The important thing about roots, too, is that not only do these bitterness or bitter roots affect our lives, but they have the power to defile many, including ourselves, of course, and it causes us to drink poison instead of the nourishment. God designed us as in His image, and due to the fact that we're designed in His image, we have very good attributes. Creation, we can create things. We can create things to do things to make our lives easier. And when we have a direct connection with the Father through Christ, we are able to receive nourishment from him. So when you think about bitter roots, or you think about this discussion on bitter roots, I want you to picture in your mind, make a mental picture, or if you have a plant in your house, that's even better than a mental picture, because you can look at a plant and you can see that it'll have a stalk, it'll have leaves, and beneath the soil it has roots. But the only way that you know that the roots are there is if you dig them up. And that's when you know you can confirm that they're actually there. So we presume that those roots are there beneath the soil. So same thing happens in life. When you see things happening, you know, the murderous, which have a root in judgment, and when that judgment is carried out, it causes disaster and even death. Now, the Bible teaches us that about the tongue. The Bible teaches us about the tongue. And in Proverbs 18:21, it tells us, and I'll read, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Again, we see fruit being spoken of here, fruit. So with that picture of the tree and the leaves, and we know that in season that fruit will be produced so that plant or that tree can reproduce in its time. Now, when we go to psychologists and things of that nature, they will pick that fruit off of that tree, which is the bad fruit. But because they're not identifying with the actual root cause of the problems that we're seeing manifested in the person's life or in our lives, it ends up being a situation where we never really solve the problem. And